Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival. I'm Angela Cerbi and I'm here with Saed Al-Battal, the director of Lisa Amesagero, still recording from the Critics Week. Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
You are one of the two directors, actually.
True.
Because the other one is coming tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, he had some problem with his visa, because Syrians always get a lot of problems in getting visa. So
Really? Weird.
Weird, yeah. He's coming tomorrow.
Okay, your film is like a slap in the face to us, to the viewer, because it's really tough to watch, but really compelling. And it's like a documentary of real life footage that you shot over
four years.
So how many hours of material did you shoot at the end?
Around 400 to 450, and we lost a lot of images that are not in this count.
Really? How come did you lose them for?
We lost it because some hearts got destroyed by shelling. Some footage was lost in transportation, and it's a long year and bad archiving also.
let's tell us why and how did you start doing that, shooting that footage, because you were like cut by the Syrian war and you decided you wanted to document, I believe.
Okay.
This was the idea, is it?
In the beginning, before revolution, before 2011, it was a dream to hold the camera and walk in the street of Syria. I tried it two times because I love camera, I don't know why, something that I have since I was a kid. I was fascinated by the ability to preserve light. And I was, in the two times that I tried to film something in the street before 2011, I was stopped by a policeman, taken to a secret service, and have to compel all what I have recorded and write a document that I will never record without their permission again. And after 2011, when the revolution started in Syria with the Arabic Spring, we had a space of freedom that kept on expanding and gave us, and the people who were in the street screaming and fighting for their freedom, gave us a space of freedom to carry the camera and walk among them, which was like an ecstasy to me. and we were just filming protests and stuff like that until 2012, where some part of Syria got freed and we had more space. And I thought this is a very important time for my country, because our dreams was then that we're going to continue until we reach the presidential palace. Mm-hmm. But so I thought this should be turned to a documentary movie, and we start recording, and things led to another, and we found ourselves from a very intense situation to another without stopping and knowing what to do, but to keep on recording and keep on filming until the point, because we know in the future, if we are lucky to survive, we would have some time to sit down, look back to them, and see what we have. And in 2015, I was lucky, in the end of 2015, I was lucky to be smuggled out of Eastern Ghouta, was under siege back then, and then from there smuggled again to Lebanon in Beirut, and and there where the making of the film really started. It took us like 2 years of editing and 2 years of writing and rewriting.
How did you work on that? I mean, how did you choose the path, the narrative path, among all the huge amount of footage?
It was like a really difficult and long process, and I wasn't alone. Me and my partner Ghias, who co-directed the film with me, worked for a lot of hours for 2 years, starting with the elimination, and it was an elimination contest. And we almost edit all the 450 hours during the 2 years. It was some kind of a beautiful nightmare. But in the same time, it was an experience that we learned a lot of it from it. And even though we did a short movie before together, we co-directed a short movie before it, and I myself directed two other short movies, but this is our first long feature documentary, and it was like a really hard but beautiful hard process.
Well, it was a totally different work than directing a short feature film, whatever, because this is not fiction. This is your life that you live day by day. So it must be even harder to choose what to keep and what to leave out, I believe.
We were lucky to have two beautiful and talented Syrian editors, Raya Yamsha, which is a Syrian editor that worked with us for a year and a half. And with her, we eventually established a version of 5 hours of a movie. Mm-hmm. And then we started to work with another talented Syrian editor, who's Qutayba. With Qutayba, we finished the movie in the version that you see now. I don't know if I answered your question correctly, but to us, this experience it was really hard. Not just because we are in those images, but because also under heavy situations and intense situations, things tend to become living day by day and minute by minute, and you don't think about the future, you don't think about the past. But while in editing, you have to dig deep into every thought that you have and dig deep into every emotion that you have. And our compass was to trance as much as we can the beautiful people who let us into their life and let us film around them and felt free and normal in front of the camera. And we need to be really... in a place where we appreciate this generosity of them. And it was a heavy weight on my shoulder and on Ghiya's shoulder that we need to carry this story, and that is a heavy story because a lot of people who are in this story are not here with us. They died either actual death or what I call the spiritual death, which is like when you lose all hope and become a different person. Yeah. So we have to carry those voices to the audience in a way that the audience can perceive, because 450 hours no one can watch. And
you leave them, but we cannot watch them.
Yeah. So we need to make a version when it's accessible to everyone and they can test the experience that we had. And as a filmmaker, me and Rias was very concerned with the ethical lines that we have to follow, what to show and what not, because a lot of footage have a lot of blood and we tried as much as we can to avoid that. A lot of footage have a lot of violence and we try to avoid that also.
Why that?
Because we think it's not about shocking you with the intense bloody scene. No one wants to watch that. We hope to trans something deeper than an ugly picture. We want to trans the spirit of the people, because you have to understand, for how would people keep on continue revolution and for 8 years if they are seeing nothing but blood? There must be some light to see, and we've been looking so deep until we can bring up this light, even if it's a small light that give hope to the people. So give hope to the people into the future to continue.
Actually, what comes out from your film is like two things to me, like urgency of being there and of telling things and of like keep on doing it, and another on the other side, like hope of going on, trying not to be crashed down by what's happening. There is that part of the scene of the party that was. It's like a symbol of that. You know, you keep on trying to go on with your normal life, of that normal day life, even if around you the world is mad. And those two elements have really. I mean, if this was your goal, you made it because they came out.
Thank you. I'm very happy that you got that. Yeah, that was one of the two major lines that you've written.
Now, I was asking you why you cut out all the most violent thing, because it's that was not made. That was not fiction. That was actual happening. So that could have been another aspect to be shown. But I understand maybe that could have been the only aspect seen at the end. You know, the violence would be the only thing to came out very, very strongly. So hiding all the rest.
When you are working on a film, or when you are working on in art in general, you're always thinking about the audience. And with that, we have been focusing our audience. Me and Rias was always the children of tomorrow. and we didn't want the children of tomorrow to see Syria as a blood pool with nothing but violence and nothing but horror. We want them to see also that hope did exist, and there is light, and there is an opportunities that we can manage, and that daily life have a joy and have a laugh, and during even the hard situations, you can always fight back by laughing at it, and you can always fight back by keep on continuing without losing hope, even though it was so hard sometimes, and a lot of times we almost break down to giving up. But by the act of finishing the movie alone, we have been proven to ourselves and maybe to others on some degree that it is possible. It is possible to go through all of that and come out with something that have a value more than just a violence image, more than just a roughly hard to understand situation. And I think really deeply that I believe in art in general and in cinema especially, because in cinema, as I see it, is you taking control of other people's dreams for like 2 hours or like 1 hour. For when you are in the cinema, I take control of your dreams and I make you see stuff. And if I want to make you see stuff, even if it's a nightmare, I would love you to enjoy this nightmare.
I understand. Well, actually, the fact that you love cinema is kind of obvious from the way you chose the film to end. Because the film ends with this continuous shoot, the camera keep on shooting after a tragic thing happened, and the camera is like alive by itself, so it keeps on recording, like still recording, it keeps on recording regardless of everything that happens around it. So it's a symbol of the eternity of images, you know, the fact that using cinema can save and let's say freeze image in histories forever, and which is in your case is more like a documentary, so it's like another kind of narrative. But still, the fact that the camera at the end of the film keeps on recording, it's like a symbol, or it's just me making sense.
Like most of the what you have just said is true. But also, this camera do not record by itself. There's always a cameraman behind it. Mm-hmm. And we tried as much as we can, as the camera as a machine is an important thing, and it's going to keep on continue recording. And when it fall, another one will pick it up, true. But also, there's a human being behind it that decide to pick up the camera and decide to still record and decide to continue. And using the symbol of the camera, we try to focus on the a human being behind it and the situation that he is into. This is alone was a heavy weight on our shoulders, because we know a lot of photographers and we know a lot of cameramen in Syria, our friends that have lost their life, and we were like just lucky to be there. So it was a tribute to everyone who ever left the camera in the face of a struggle, because we put in the film with the sentence because this anonymous soldier that go to the risk situation just to bring you some, preserve some light, and we see that those images are our last line of defense against time, and we are always have been afraid of. We share this between us, all the people who have been working on this film. We have been always afraid that in the future, as always, someone gonna mess with history and write it differently and change things that wasn't there. So we want to be ready for that. And we have felt this since we have been recording, and we have felt it more when we've been working on editing. And when we finished, we was sure that, yes, this is an important rule, and we hope that we did as much as we can to carry the mission that others have left us for us. Because I picked up the camera also not about the last scene I'm talking about, but I picked up the camera also from other people who fail and left it on the street, like the scene in the beginning of the movie. Because eventually to continue, just to continue, is pointless. But to continue with a common goal that you can share with others, and know that even if you don't stop existing, other will continue your fight, if I can say it's a fight, it's what keep you on. This is what turn on the hope. And it eventually, it's true, the camera is the excuse for the film, but it's also in a way or another about the cameraman. And despite all other situation, all other representative in the film, but mainly it's also about the cameraman, who is always behind the camera, and you can he's always trying to disappear as much as he can, to become the eye of the stranger that cannot visit this situation. And in Syria, we don't have media. Before 2011 until now, we only media that come into Syria is either smuggling in or a media controlled or approved by the Syrian regime. And this media will not carry the truth.
These are not useful media at all. Those are not useful media. Those controlled by the regime is like not having media at all, basically. Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot, really, to Saed Al-Bata, director of Lisa Ahmed Chazelle, still recording at the Critics Week of the Venice Film Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.